So, we are kicking off with our new teaching series, our next teaching series, and we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew. It's just titled Matthew. We went through lots of different titles it could be. We just settled on Matthew. It was nice and easy, straightforward. It's going to be a lovely time. We're going to be exploring this gospel through the lens of the disciples. So we're looking at how they were called, how they followed Jesus, how they were taught by him, how they witnessed what he did, how they were commissioned by Jesus, and they go on to become model students of their teacher. We spent this talk is titled The Call to Follow, just to let you know. That's the direction we're heading. So we spent the last 7 weeks looking at how we are intending on stepping into a relational, an intentional relationship with Jesus, declaring that Jesus is our rabbi and spending time with him and willing to put things aside to change. And this will lead us to become ultimately more like Jesus, to be shaped more like Jesus. And it's through our being and becoming and our doing. And we're wanting to look at this through the lens of the disciples and looking at what, looking through Matthew's memories and exploring what he saw so that we can root what we're doing in scripture and looking at a firsthand experience so we can shape our own lives. So today we're going to have a quick overview of Matthew's gospel, just to kick us off. We're going to be exploring who Matthew was, and we'll be kicking off this journey in this teaching series by looking at the call of Matthew himself. So the Bible tells this big, sprawling story of sin and redemption, of death and resurrection, and it takes us from this journey from creation to new creation. And Dan mentioned that in his last message, that journey from the Garden of Eden to the to New Jerusalem. And along the way, through this, we go through the Old Testament and we hit the prophets. And it somehow feels it's getting a bit lost a bit when he gets to that point. We've done the history, we've done lots of content, and he gets to the prophets and they're declaring ahead this coming king. But it feels it's getting lost. It's the pace feels like it's slowing down. They're trying to energize, the prophets are trying to energize the people, but it feels like it stalls slightly. We turn the page from Malachi into Matthew, and this just turns into sharp focus. We meet the central character, the pivotal character of this story, of the Bible, and his name's Jesus. And this is one of the earliest accounts of Jesus of Nazareth. But while the book itself it is anonymous, we can link it to Matthew the tax collector, who was one of the 12 apostles, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. And he appears in the book himself a couple of times. And this account was put together 30 to 40 years after Jesus ascended. And the apostles, over that period of time, continued to go on teaching. They didn't just stall and sit around. They were commissioned by Jesus. They went out and they started sharing through spoken word all the accounts and the teachings and bits and pieces that they'd memorized. And it was just the way things were done back then. Things weren't, you didn't keep a diary necessarily. As you learned something, you walked to the next people, you shared it. You went over here, you shared it there. And you just everything was in their mind because they were constantly speaking it. So Matthew collected and arranged all these teachings and experiences and his observations into this book, this gospel. And he chose to highlight a few themes in his book. Matthew wanted to show how Jesus was the continuation of this story. It's not a new story in itself with Jesus. It's a continuation of the big story. And Matthew wants to pull out a few key bits with that Jesus is the Messiah from the line of David. And we get that through the genealogy that he opens with. He then goes on to want to explain more that Jesus is a new authoritative teacher. So we'll unpack that in a bit, so I won't go into depth on that now. And the last thing that Matthew wants to pull out as a theme, as a thread, is that Jesus is God with us, or in Hebrew, that he is Emmanuel, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets that have been declaring ahead, and he's the fulfillment of that. He was born by conception of the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus wasn't just a human. He was fully man and fully God. He is God with us. So Matthew kicks off his gospel with a long genealogy that traces Jesus' lineage all the way up, back to Abraham. And this is the fourth and final genealogy. There's a fifth one in Luke. This is the fourth genealogy in the Bible as we go through. And Matthew knew that this was really important. For us, we sit there, we reach a genealogy, we get our first one in Numbers, I think. And you hit that and you go, oh, this is a slog to get through. Someone's name I can't pronounce, followed by this person, son of this person. And it feels like a slog, but this was so important to the Jews when they were reading that, when they were studying the Torah, those books of the Bible. And Matthew knew that, which is why he decided to open with this, because it roots that continuation that Jesus was part of that line of David. You can see David partway through and we go back further. So God hasn't abandoned what he's doing with Malachi in the book of Malachi. Rather, God is continuing that story on. It's the fulfillment. He made promises to David and Abraham, and Matthew knew his readers would have a strong understanding of that. They would have studied that. I'm going to come on to that in a bit. They knew that, and that was their strong understanding. So Matthew opens his book, his testament, with these words. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah, the descendant of David and of Abraham, and continues into that genealogy. God had promised David that a son would sit, that a son of his would sit upon the eternal throne. God had promised to Abraham that his seed would bless the nations. And these promises are fulfilled in Jesus. And that would have grabbed the attention of the readers immediately. The gospel writing is, in this writing, Matthew was careful to remind us that Jesus, the Jesus that we call Lord, the Jesus that is the Messiah who is spoken of by the prophets, when we finish the Old Testament, that isn't just plan B and then moving on to plan, the New Testament is not just plan B, that is, it's a continuation, it's a revelation of this continuing of his plan A. So Matthew's designed this book, and it's got an introduction, which we've just been kind of like overviewing a little bit there. He's then got five clear sections, five segments going through, and each of those sections is concluded with a little block of teaching. And then he's got a conclusion as well at the end. So how did Matthew bring attention, just going back to that, how did Jesus bring attention that Jesus was the new authoritative teacher? And he does that with these five segments, with Jesus' teachings. And he used these five segments, and those five segments of his gospel represent the five books of the Torah. The Torah, which was written by Moses, it was the core of the Jewish teaching and the law of their religion. And this is reinforcing that what Jesus is bringing supersedes what Moses brought. So up until that time, everything was fantastic. Then it's going, Jesus is bringing the new authority, the new teaching in. Matthew concludes those five segments with an ending, a conclusion, of which in that he's got the Great Commission, the sending of the disciples before then Jesus left. So Matthew himself was one of four gospel writers. We've got the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew was unique alongside John that actually he witnessed these accounts firsthand. He walked alongside Jesus. He was one of his disciples. So we can take what Matthew has written as a, is it autobiography when you're writing about someone else? It's an autobiography of Jesus' life. He's stood there, he's witnessed biography. I know that. So he's walked alongside Jesus, observed him, and then written this book about him. Thank you. And that's just a bit different. So him and John were unique. They followed Jesus. That was a bit different than Mark, who would have met Jesus, but he was a teenager at the time. And in fact, the apostles, they met in the book of Acts, they met in Matthew's mum's house. So Matthew was part of what was going on, but he was just observing from a distance. He might have met Jesus firsthand, but he kind of... Mark, thank you, firsthand. And then you've got Luke, who wrote his gospel on the account of others. He never met Jesus. He was changed and came to this faith after the fact. And he starts his book by saying, I've written this book by going and seeking eyewitness accounts from people and have compiled this together from eyewitness accounts. And some of those would be from the other gospels, but then they were written separately. But then a lot of them from others as well, other people. So Matthew himself, we know a lot about the book. Scoot. But who on earth was Matthew? So Matthew, as we've been talking about, he was a follower of Jesus. He was a close follower. He was one of the first called disciples, and we'll be looking at that in a moment. Matthew also goes by the name Levi. So when you see Levi in the other Gospels, that is Matthew. We presume that Levi is part of his. It shows his heritage to the tribal line, the tribe of Levi. We can assume that is to be the case. We don't know really. And Matthew, we know, was Jewish, and he would have been born into a Jewish family. So from that, we also know a bit about Matthew's early childhood. He would have been sent to synagogue school at about the age of 6. He would have studied in a formal setting, memorizing verses daily. So there would have been set a verse or two to memorize on a daily basis through effectively what was primary school. And those verses they were studying were the 5 books of the Torah. That's why every Jewish family, every Jewish boy in particular, knew that book off by heart because they studied it. They didn't study much else. That was their core. At the age of 10, he would have begun to study the Mishnah. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, which is the first part of Jewish education. That's where they start not just memorizing the Bible verses, but talking more about it. At 13, hitting secondary school effectively, he starts studying the commandments and he would have had his bar mitzvah. And at 15, they start studying the Talmud, which is about civil and ceremonial law. It's, again, everything's written down. And all of this was under the Seraphim, the Jewish teachers. They would have done all of this at the synagogue, in synagogue school. After this education, Jewish boys would typically either continue on studying if they're invited to study underneath a rabbi, or they would go into their father's trade. They would have continued on the family trade. So we know from all of this, Matthew was smart and he was well educated. He would have been brought up in a really good way. Now, we don't know how Matthew got into tax collecting. It's not exactly a job that you would dream and think about doing. You don't just wake up one day, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be a tax collector. I should probably say at this point that tax collectors were despised. They were corrupt often. They were hated on by those that they taxed, not because they were tax collectors in themselves, but because of who they were doing it for. They were doing it for the Romans, the oppressive force at that time. So it's almost like they're showing allegiance to this oppressive power, which is taxing these people, you know, to the ground and taking all their finances. But above and beyond that, those tax collectors would then have collected more than that what they were owed and taken that as commission themselves. So these people weren't liked in their community. Matthew was doing this in a town called Capernaum, and he would not have been the most loved person in Capernaum at that time. We don't know whether that was his hometown. It could have been his hometown where he grew up. So he might have grown up knowing these people, become a tax collector, had an allegiance with the Romans, and then, yeah, he would have probably been disowned by his family and his friends as a traitor to the people. So we're going to skip a bit of a chunk because we're going to be coming back to that in just a second, which is the call of Matthew and part of his life with Jesus. And we'll be unpacking that in particular over these next few weeks. And we're going to jump about four years later to Matthew's ministry. So after the Great Commission, Jesus had died, resurrected, commissioned, then he ascended. And at that point, the apostles didn't just sit there twiddling their thumbs. They were sent, they were energized, they were enthused. And they went out to spread the good news that Jesus had shared with them for all of those years. And he did that alongside other apostles. And the disciples grew by number. They grew daily. We know that, it says it in Acts. Matthew began these teachings in Jerusalem, and then he would have been preaching to the Jewish communities there. He would have then headed out to Judea before then going on further. Now, sources aren't necessarily in agreement where that leads to, but most people think he headed to Ethiopia. And at that point, a bit later on, Matthew was martyred there. So we know a bit more about Matthew as the author, and we'll get to know about him and the other disciples as we read this book together. And something incredible must have inspired to lead him to write this book. And it all started somewhere. So I wonder what the pivotal point in Matthew's life was, if he was looking back and saying, that was the point. I wonder what that was, whether it was his bar mitzvah. That was a big point in the Jewish calendar for Jewish boys. Or maybe another early memory. Maybe it was a bit later on. Maybe it was the day of Pentecost, when he and the other disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was the day that he saw Jesus again after he came back to life again. Or I dare say that we can assume that Matthew would say that it was the day that Jesus noticed him in Capernaum and said, "Follow me." And he would have said, that was the turning point in my life where everything changed. So I've been watching The Chosen with Beth. It's something we've been enjoying watching in evenings over the last few years as different seasons have been coming out. And it brings the Bible alive on the screen. And it takes the Gospels and it weaves in a bit of the known history at that time, and it kind of like puts it onto the screen. So I invite you now, we're going to watch a short clip looking at the call of Matthew. Thanks, Chris. We'll watch that together.
A mother of a son with talent like yours should be proud.
She's ashamed that I could use the talent that God gave me against God. Next.
You're good at something. You found a way to make a living doing it. It's that simple.
Must be nice to live in a world so simply ordered.
We live in the same world, Matthew.
Next.
Besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Matthew. Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to... What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're gonna throw it all away.
Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew. What's the tablet for?
I grabbed it without thinking. I can put it back.
No, keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
I just love the response of the disciples of Simon there saying, and I think it would have been truly his response going, what are you doing asking a tax collector to follow you? And then the response from Gaius, his Roman minder, Matthew's minder, saying, have you lost your mind? All the money that you have and you live underneath Roman protection, would you leave all that behind and throw it away? I've got to say that that part isn't recorded in the gospel, but it could well have happened. But it was just beautiful. It just shows the contrast of how the Romans, maybe even his fellow tax collectors, would have viewed things. They had everything. He was probably one of the richest, Jews in Capernaum, and he, in their mind, threw it all away, left it and threw it away. So I just want to ask us a couple of questions. Why do you think Matthew chose to follow that call? What did Jesus see in him? And the other thing to think about is, why did Jesus ask Matthew to follow him? What was Matthew going to add? As far as rabbis go, they would have invited the best and brightest students to follow them and take on what they did, but Matthew didn't know Jesus. That's probably the first time they met. He was bright, yeah. So we had I had another account that I was going to play, but we're going to skip that one. And I'll send it out in the week for you guys to watch. But we were going to look at the contrast of Simon's call to follow Jesus. And with Simon's call to follow Jesus, it happened immediately after a miracle. We had the casting the nets over one side of the boat, trying to fish, not getting anything. And Jesus, random stranger on the shore, saying, throw your nets on the other side. Trying to tell the fishermen how to fish, honestly. What's he doing? And then the nets fill with fish. Fish come in the boat. And then Jesus says to Matthew, follow me. No, he says to Simon, sorry. He says to Simon, follow me. And Simon, in that instant, just knew that he was, as his brother had declared to him earlier on, was the Lamb of God. Andrew would have heard that from John the Baptist at the baptism of Jesus, and would have run home to tell Simon, I've seen this guy, and John the Baptist said he was this. So, yeah. In both of these instances, these people decided to drop everything they were doing, everything they had, their career, their way of life, their family. And they chose to follow Jesus. In Luke's account of this with Matthew, it says, Matthew left everything behind, got up and followed Jesus. Whether it was practically, and he dropped everything he had, but also worldly, got up, left and followed. They were excited to see what Jesus had to offer. Both Matthew and Simon were Jews. They would have known of Isaiah's promise of the Messiah coming. And in that instant, they just recognized that it was Jesus. And they wanted to follow him. They wanted to learn from him. They wanted to be his apprentice. So this is the beginning of Matthew's gospel. I mean, technically, the call of Matthew was like chapter 9. We've skipped ahead a little bit to include that in, but that was the beginning of his journey with that. So we're going to be reading the book of Matthew over the coming weeks. We're going to be sending out a Bible reading plan. We're going to be kicking off with chapter 1 tomorrow. So each week you'll receive an email in your inbox, even more reason to sign up with Church Suite. And you'll hopefully get that through. And with what we've been looking at this morning, you'll be able to read the gospel with that framing in mind. And a few things to look out for along the way. Look out for where Matthew cross-references the Old Testament. There are lots of those. You can follow those footnotes at the bottom of my Bible. I've got hyperlinks written down here. I didn't mean hyperlinks. Hyperlinks if you're on the web. But yes, you can follow the footnotes in your Bible where it jumps back to the Old Testament and points it out. And I advise you, you know, when you see that, follow it. See where it goes. And then don't just go see where it goes and go, oh, says it there as well. Actually then go, okay, I'm going to read part of that chapter and understand who said that? Why are they saying that? And why is it important? Why is it so important for Matthew to go, this is important to know as well. And this is, you know, this is Jesus saying something, and that was where he's saying it from. Also pay close attention to the types of people that Jesus encountered along the way and the types of people that Jesus invited to follow him. You'll see that often the people that Jesus encountered, and certainly the people he invited to follow him in the world of things, were nobodies. They weren't kings. They weren't, you know, Roman centurions. They weren't people of power or great influence. They were kind of like unimportant people. They were, more often than not, they were non-religious people as well, the people that Jesus encountered. And these are the people who were transformed. These were the people that were transformed by their faith and trust in Jesus. And often it was the first time they met Jesus, and they gave it all. There was something different about Jesus. And it's so interesting to read that and learn from that, because sometimes it's easy to miss it 2,000 years later. So I invite you, read the detail and live the life of the disciples as you're reading the book. Put your Matthew hat on as you're reading the book. Oh, what was he thinking here when he was writing this down? So I'd invite the band back up again. And I've got a few thoughts that I'd like us to reflect on as we move into this time of worship. I'm going to ask the band just to start playing quietly and invite you to close your eyes. I've got a few thoughts just to pull out from. We're not going to put it on the screen. We're going to do this with ourselves and actually have a little think about what is Jesus saying to you now. So with your eyes closed, the band will start, but the first question for you guys is, where were you, when were you called by Jesus to follow him? When did you choose to follow Jesus? How long's that been? Do you remember where you were when that happened? Maybe you haven't been called, maybe you haven't chosen to follow Jesus yet. And you're sat here considering what it means to follow Jesus at the moment. Just pause for a moment and just ask Jesus, are you saying anything to me at the moment? What's been the most pivotal moment in your life? Both Simon and Matthew chose to follow Jesus, and this completely changed their lives. Has Jesus changed anything in yours? With that in mind, would you describe where you are now, or how would you describe where you are now in comparison to when you first started to follow Jesus? When When Matthew and Simon were called, they dropped everything they had. They left it behind to follow their rabbi. What might be something that you need to leave behind whilst you're following or to begin following Jesus? Just pause again and ask Jesus again, does he have anything to say to you at the moment? Jesus, we want to unburden ourselves to follow you, leaving behind all that hinders us or holds us back from following you. We're so tied into this world, it can be difficult to untangle ourselves. But we want to commit to a life following you, encountering you, spending time with you, quality time with you, intentionally changing ourselves for the better, yearning to be more like you. Jesus, you are our model, our example, our guide and our teacher. Father God, send your helper, the Holy Spirit, to spend time with us, to work in us, to fill us again and again and again. Let us be malleable and moldable, to be shaped by your presence. Holy Spirit, we just pray for your presence to rest on us, to bless us, to fill us, to renew us, and to send us out.